Things can get quite busy between classes at Athene Magical College. After all, there are more than enough students to fill the small buildings where magic classes are held. And when you need to get out of there can be a real scrum in the hallways. People getting dropped off, people getting picked up. It's a place where it's a little more difficult to focus. On the other hand, there's a nearby hill, which crests into the low foot of a mountain range. You can see the nearby mountains from it, but it is a bump before them. At the top of it is a rock garden, and a small fountain. A natural stream runs from the mountains, pooling nearby. This place has been filled with stone benches, a few archways, some overhangs. It's a place to sit if you're willing to walk 10 or 15 minutes away from campus. Those who just have a short break between classes will lack the time. But when you have a little time, and you want to completely clear out before the next requirement, this can be a place to come and meditate, read, study. Anything quiet, even quiet conversation is all right, because trees grow on the hill, bushes, low garden walls. Someone's even been cultivating flowers there lately. It is entirely possible to go there and have a quiet, calm conversation. Additionally, teachers and students alike take their break there, so professors might be willing to help out with studies or give advice, answer questions. A few impromptu classes have even been taught on this particular hill on nice days. So as you weave your way up the white sand path to the top of the hill, passing the rock garden with its elegantly raked swirls and a few students sitting out on rocks enjoying the sun, you're surprised to find the hill is larger than before. It extends maybe 20 or 30 extra feet toward the mountain nearby, more a large rounded mound than a small hill with rock garden sprawling down it. This extension and its source are not difficult to get to. You walk, weaving between the pathways, the flower beds, the other students, making sure to stay focused. And you find yourself at the edge of a square. It's like a sandbox, really. Different from the rock garden, which merges neatly with the grasses around it. This large rectangular space wasn't there yesterday. And it is filled with sand. White sand like the path you walked up to get here. It's not unusual for somebody to make something larger or smaller at this school. Magic students showing off, or people who need just a little more space for a meeting or an event. But this is strange only in that it takes a long time to figure out the purpose. No table, no chairs, just a huge square box, white sand, and in it here and there objects glistening in the light, round, glassy spheres, different colors. One nearby is amber, another is gold and black, white and red. They're spread out, and like the rock garden stones, they are in the center of whorls of raked sand. At the edge, a sign with its red paint still drying. Do not touch. Keep out. Another sign nearby. Contact facilities management. And then a phone number underneath. But since you have no real reason to mess with it, you decide to sit down and see who comes by. Maybe there'll be a demonstration of some sort. Curling up on a bench in the shade of a tree, the breeze that comes down off the mountains, skirting around their feet, brushes the top of the hill, keeping you cool, even though you can see the way everything is white hot outside the circle of the hill. It's practically air-conditioned, and you know more than one person has tweaked the weather in recent days and received pointed announcements directed their way at the start of nature magic class. So, seated on the bench, comfortable, away from everyone else, who seems to have decided this oddity isn't sufficiently odd to hold attention, you just watch the wind stir the occasional grain of sand. A few of the marbles even seem to be rolling along the little raked whorls of sand in the box. You watch the grasses beyond the hill blowing back and forth. Someone mows them now and then, but this space is largely untouched. That's beneficial for a lot of people who are comfortable or think well in a natural space. There's no shortage of variety in the scenery around here. So as you watch the wind blow, moving the grasses, as you feel the air across your skin, the pleasant breeze, knowing you could extend your hand full away from your body and it would enter into the sunlight, brushed by warmth, you just wait, observing, resting, in an open state of mind, remembering that this is where people come to meditate. Let your mind drift a little to that. Breathing deeply, letting the air flow in and out, and around your body as well. Just another grain of sand moved a little bit by the breeze. Just another glowing, interesting thing resting here, nearby to others. Breathing deep, the in and out of it. Your mind extending beyond your body, trying to follow that breeze, trying to brush up against things. A spark of heat, potential, and light. That's when you notice that even if you let your eyes drift closed, those marbles, those round glass spheres in the sandbox, or what you've come to think of as a sandbox, you can still see them with your eyes closed. Pinpoints of light, seen with your mind's eye rather than just by light bouncing off them, glistening there. In fact, you can see better with your eyes closed. See that there are many of them buried under the sand of that square. That whatever those glistening orbs in many colors are, there are some on the surface, and some a little deeper, and as you tilt your head forward, letting it loll, breathing deeply. You see there are more and more, right down into the surface of the hill, winding their way downward. Those lighted orbs are visible, circling down and down deeper. Merely blinking barely brings them to mind, but with your eyes closed and your mind open, it's easy to see just how many there are, and to pique your curiosity even further. You open your eyes, slowly rise from the bench, walk to the edge of the box, lean down, and gaze at one of the orbs in particular, one in bright red that is nearby. Kneeling, not crossing the edge of the sand, just inspecting it, looking at it. It's quite interesting. They seem to shift their patterns of light in reaction to your gaze. It is just when you've noticed that, you hear someone clear their throat behind you. Looking up, you see a woman, with blood-red scaled skin. Smiling merrily, she has full teal-colored lips. Her eyes are slit-pupiled a little, but with a few blinks, they become something closer to a normal iris and pupil. She has ram-like horns swept back on the top of her head. Long black hair past the shoulder. She's wearing cut-off jeans and no shoes to speak of. Her scaled toenails, long, sharp. Fingernails the same, but these retract back into her hands as you look at her. Hey there. Weren't going to go in there, were you? You nod, assuring her that you were keeping well back, as the sign said. She nods back. Anyway, you're the only one over here. Here, I'll show you what they're for. She does step into the sand. Then she kneels down there in it. She gestures to you to stay outside of the box. You notice that when the draconic woman set foot inside, a few of the marbles rolled away. The blue one, the white one. Whereas the red, the black, a green you can see there, rolled closer. Some didn't move at all. She looks around through them and stares at a few for a long moment. These, she explains during her search, are memories. Some of them happened, some of them didn't, some of them will. I found them, and I needed to let them grow. They were really quite small. You can see it here. She holds up a handful of the white sand and lets it run between her fingers. These are the seeds. That's when you realize that the marbles you'd been seeing are just grown-up versions of those grains of sand, and that whatever's in that box, it goes all the way down, growing, germinating, a million memories, a million seeds, some of them sprouting. She holds up one. It's white. It glows a little in the sun. Here, I'm going to have to teach a bunch of people how to go into these anyway. You want to volunteer? It's safe, she says. Then she says, ish? Safe-ish, yeah. Though she had picked up one of the stones, she actually places it back down. Here, I'll teach you how to slide into one of them. And then you take your pick afterward. Like I said, you'll be completely safe. But some of these are a little intense, so it's probably best if I just tell you to go ahead, slide into any of them. There'll be some rewards if you record what you find in each one. There are little labels and boxes over there. She gestures just down the copse of the hill she came from, a small forested stand. And you do see a few suitcases and some equipment with the Academy's logo. She further explains, this technique will work for entering pretty much any willing memory. All of those are memory seeds, but there is one thing I should add. She leans down and picks up another of the stones. This one's smaller than the others, red, burnished like flame. I entered this one this morning, only to find it was one of my memories. I think it, once you make contact with the sand, the seeds, and pick up one of these, it taps some of your memories into the stack. She gestures to the white sand that you now know goes very deeply into the hill. So as long as you're okay with that, here. She sits folded-legged on the soft grass, places the marble she was holding back into its holding pen, and invites you to sit and meditate. Seated opposite her, not too far from that hive of tempting and mysterious memories, she invites you to breathe deep. Let the tension fall slow from your shoulders, petering away. Just the two of you there. You see her cross her legs, folding them over each other, places her hands on her knees. You replicate the motion. You notice how slow her breathing comes. She has barely any breasts to speak of, and the rise and fall of her shirt is therefore less distracting than it might be if it were another professor or another staff member. But still, you watch her breathing. Her eyes are closed, lips turned in a slight smile. Let yourself replicate that. Smiling, breathing deep, feeling the breeze pass by. Good. Now, realize that to come to this moment you have traveled a long, slow strand of memory. And that memory, our connection to the past, our anchor tethering into the future in those things, places, people, which will remember us by our tread. It is difficult at times to distinguish her words from the surrounding breeze, as she weaves something soothing through which you can breathe deeply but from which you can also extract a lesson.